Hello and welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two lovely ladies. We have Julia Scott and Shannon Sutterth. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you both so much for being here. I'm super excited to have you on. And to start with, Julia, where can people find you on the internet?
I am Julia Scott in most places, and that's S-K-O-T-T. I always joke that I should also always sign up for the new username Julia Scott with a K, because that's how I always have to say it. and I am offline. I live in Sweden, where I'm a journalist and a writer and a part-time potter.
Fantastic. All right, Shannon, what about you?
I am Star Fury 10, Star and Fury and numeral 10. That's a Babylon 5 reference on most social media connected with my podcasting. And I am in Durham, North Carolina.
Should we maybe also admit to our podcasts? I just realized that
yes,
that's
please.
Another place online. So I make podcasts in Swedish about knitting and romance novels and people with weird specific interests.
You're one of my people.
A couple of months ago, I started a podcast in English called Make Do, where Tiff Arment and I talk about art and making and exploring those things and feelings about those things.
The crocheter and beater in me is rubbing my hands together.
If only you spoke Swedish.
But I also, I've written a couple of books, and my most recent book, which is called Shut Up, I'm Knitting, or Shut Up, I'm Counting, A Knitter's Confessions, is hopefully going to be out in English later this year.
Exciting. Yes.
And my main podcast is The Audio Guide to Babylon 5 at b5audioguide.com, which I do as a roundtable hosting with my husband, Chip Sutterth, and our good friend Erica Enzine.
Awesome. All right. So now that we've started talking about podcasts, let's get straight into the questions. Very first question, how did you start listening to podcasts?
I've been thinking about this and I have a really crappy answer, which is that I have no idea. Like, I can't remember. I'm trying to think, like, what was the first podcast and how did I find it? I think that one thing that is very different from, I think, maybe a lot of your other guests is that I'm pretty sure it wasn't a tech podcast. Like, that's not how I got into it at all. I do now listen to several podcasts that are at least tech adjacent and internet stuff adjacent. But I think it's probably something more like either cultural or like sociological, because that's where a lot of it is. And that's where, so I've no idea what the first one was. And then the collection has sort of grown with people that are on each other's podcasts or someone on Twitter recommends, like, that's just like random jumps into all of these different. So I have ridiculous amount of podcasts in my podcatcher now, but like, I cannot for the life of me remember, and I'm so fascinated by people who know, like, this was the one that got me into it.
Absolutely. What's the first one that you can remember?
The first one that I can remember that I really got into, I think, was This American Life, which is one of those weird, like, gray area things, because it's a radio show that's also released as a podcast.
Yeah.
But that's where I think a lot of it grew, because my husband and I would listen to several episodes, like, on road trips in the summers, and always have to pause and be like, okay, we have to stop and also debate which superpower you would choose between flight and invisibility or whatever it was, and have long, long discussions about, like, oh, you know, they're talking here about how charity works best or whatever. So it was really good like that, because we could both talk about it, because it overlapped. Like, he listens to way more tech podcasts than I do, and I'm just like, I don't care about soldering this much, I'm sorry. But I think that was one of the ones where I really got into it. But I don't, like, that might have been the 15th podcast I listened to, but that's one where I know I really started also caring about that format.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's a really mix for me, like, between, you know, two people talking about something, or more documentary style, or storytelling, or newsy stuff. Like, it's, I like very different formats. And I have this discussion, speaking of This American Life, like, with people, like, can you count a podcast that's just a redistribution of a radio show? And I don't know where I land on that, because You have things that are produced in-house in big media houses, but that are only available online. But then what if one of those episodes winds up on the radio because they have those channels? Like, it's a weird thing. Like, some people think of podcasts as something that's still super indie. Like, if you have a home that's not just a network, but is like the New York Times, then you're not really a podcast. And I don't agree with that either. But like, it's an interesting field.
Yeah. It really comes down to like the definition of what a podcast is. And honestly, I believe that even if it first came on the radio, if it's distributed via a pod, like an RSS feed, that by definition makes it a podcast. So, and the fact that so many podcasts now tend to have, you know, producers and they have these professional editors and whatnot, doesn't make less of a podcast. Just means that there's more people employed, which is kind of cool that there's all of these different like jobs that are being created because of the podcast like profession.
Well, I mean, like if you think about like podcast, like the word is just like this is something that is could have been a broadcast, but it's now in your iPod. And
right.
None of those things are true anymore. And it's really funny when the context changes. I was on this fairly big Swedish podcast that lives with our National Public Radio, but that is usually only distributed online as a podcast. And I talked about romantic comedies. Like, it's this sort of satirical but really smart pop culture and old pop culture and like nerdy interest podcast. And like, I did this funny satirical things like top 10 things I've learned from romantic comedies. Like, it was jokey, but then they broadcast it on the radio where people didn't usually know that like this is, and people were so upset. Like, I got all these emails saying like, you're a horrible feminist and I hate that my tax dollars or my tax crowns rather go to you. And I was like, A, I was a guest, I was not paid. B, okay, I am a horrible feminist, I'm okay with it. But like, because to them, this was just a radio show on Sirius Radio, and they didn't know that we were being jokey about it. So it was a really interesting. I mean, I didn't appreciate all those emails, but like, and it's the same. Like, I can imagine that, like, if you just because you, it's really hard to sort of slip into a podcast the same way you can find a linked video or article. Mm-hmm. So those weird times when they do wind up without context, it's so clear that they are or can be a very special format.
Yeah, I'm still not sure my parents understand it when I try to explain my hobbies. You know, they're just like, what, your audio on the computer, we don't get it.
my mom guested my knitting podcast and talked about the role of knitting in the Soviet Union when she was younger, and she was I had to explain what a podcast was, and I still don't think she's listened to a podcast ever, but she was like, all right, I'll come talk on your thing, whatever.
Right. All right, what about you, Shannon? How did you get started listening?
Through my husband. He's always been the more techie of us in the family, and when we both got back into the revival of Doctor Who, this was like, you know, online fandom. I'd been in online fandom, like with, you know, Harry Potter and other properties. But this was something that we were enjoying together. And he is the one who found podcasts about Doctor Who. I'm trying to remember some of the older ones that, that may not even be producing anymore. I'm not sure. Podshock, and I can't remember the name of the other one, but another one that he was listening to was Radio Free Skaro, which is still going on. And as he was listening, as he likes to say, he started podcasting out of spite because he didn't like the opinions that the guys were giving about some of his favorite things, which is why he started his own podcast, which I'll get into in a little bit later. But that was our first wave of podcasts. And then he started listening to NPR things, Dinner Party Download, Pop Culture Happy Hour, you know, various just more topical things, and more techie podcasts. So I was kind of just listening along as he listened in the car or, you know, had it going, you know, while we were working on things in the computer den. And I just, you know, was happy to listen to sort of the things that he was producing or the things that he was listening to.
That's so cool that you just are like, oh, yeah, I'll just listen, because a lot of times I know when I'd be in the car with my husband and he'd want to listen to particular mm-hmm. music, I'd be like, no, I don't want to listen to your thing. So good job, Shannon, being a good wife.
Well, you know, he's kind enough usually to ask if there was like a queue of, you know, 6 or 7 different podcasts, which one do you want to listen to first? So, you know, I had some input.
Okay, that's good. Very good. I love it. All right. So what made you want to actually start making podcasts? Were they out of spite, like Shannon's husband?
No, but I love that general internet thing of like, well, you do it better. And it's like, I will. but no, like for me, I mean, it is magical that the internet is and podcasts have that format of just like, well, I'll just do it. Because for me, I've, you know, in my journalism life, I've always loved both making and listening to traditional radio. And again, like different formats of documentary style and discussion style and news style and weird commentary. And my strength and main issue is that I'm not that good at self-preservation. And I'll just go like, okay, this thing doesn't exist. This thing needs to be a thing and I will do it. Like that's how my books have happened. That's how all my podcasts, like, and the knitting and romance podcasts are both group projects. Like there are several of us involved, but both of them happened and the knitting one came first because people were joking about it and I have no social skills and can't read cues. So I was like, all right, let's do it. And before they kind of knew what had happened, we had a podcast running and then suddenly it was like, oh, this is now one of Sweden's and the Nordic countries' largest knitting podcasts. And like, we're now Northern Europe's largest romance podcast. And It was just fun. Like part of it is also, it's a really good way to both sort of grow the thing that you like doing because you have somewhere to check in about it. And it's a good way to be social. Like after a certain age, people are busy. But if you go like, well, you have to show up because we have fans.
Yes.
So it was just nice to talk more intensely and more like focusedly with your friends about things that you care about. And then I just sort of kept going and trying different things. And it's, you know, it's also now a thing that I do, you know, like semi-professionally in that I also do it for businesses. Like I've produced and hosted like business podcasts for businesses about the things that they do, which I think would have been a possibility even if I hadn't been like a quote unquote real journalist. Like obviously that helps.
Yeah.
With when you do like structure and interviewing and stuff. But it is cool that I think that could have been something that I could have grown just as a civilian as well.
That the whole market almost of podcasts allows for it to be open in ways that like old-time radio journalism didn't, because we can do this, I mean, all over the world. We are having this conversation now, the three of us, and we don't have to be in the same building together. Mm-hmm. And being able to offer services as a producer from a location that's not the same location of maybe the businesses that are doing the recording is so unique. And it's something that the internet has just made immensely popular and possible, and it's really cool that podcasting has gained that worldliness, I guess you could say, and the ability to have it so spread out, which is really cool.
And it's something that you can consume at almost any time in your day. Like I mm-hmm. read a lot, but I can't and shouldn't read while driving or while hanging laundry or whatever. And
right.
I can learn so much or, you know, laugh or get annoyed. Just like have all these smart people with me all throughout my day, like while I'm in the pottery studio or pulling weeds or on the bus. And it's just, that's such a cool thing. And that's, you know, that's why I love audio both, because it's accessible to me as a listener and to me as a maker. I don't need super fancy equipment. I don't need to put on makeup or pants or anything. Like it's the best thing.
I love it so much. All right, Shannon, what about you?
In my case, again, it was through my husband. He started his first podcast, the 2-Minute Time Lord, a Doctor Who podcast that, as I said, he started it because he had opinions and he wanted to voice them. He was kind of getting tired of hearing what he, at the time, considered to be sort of the same opinions from a bunch of different groups of guys, all of which had podcasts that were 90 minutes to 3 hours long. And he wanted something different. He wanted, you know, he had things he wanted to say and he wanted to say them differently. So he came up with his 2-minute format. So he would, you know, write these short essays about whatever he wanted to say and record them and put them out a few times a week. And it took off. And then it got to a point where I was ranting about probably the character River Song, because I really, really don't like that character in Doctor Who. And but I was ranting, and finally Chip was just like, "You want to just talk about it on the podcast?" And I was like, "Okay." And he set me up and helped me learn the recording tricks and how to handle audio and mics. And that was the first time I like guested on his podcast. And I did that several times over the next couple of years. And then he got involved with the Incomparable Network of podcasts. And I still don't remember exactly how that came about, how he, you know, how he and Jason Snell, who runs that network, wound up to a point where Chip wound up appearing on a podcast or two for him, and then a few more and a few more. And by this time, he was also doing a tech podcast with one of the Radio Free Skaro hosts. So the interconnectedness started growing from the very beginning. And then at one point, the Incomparable was starting to do game shows and just needed more voices. They needed participants for some of these game shows. And Chip was like, you know, "Well, Shannon, you want to play? You want to come do this?" And that was the first time that I was on the Incomparable Network. And I gradually, just whenever they had topics I was interested in or they needed an extra voice, I would, you know, join in where I could. And then we started the Audio Guide to Babylon 5. Chip had sort of wound down the 2-Minute Time Lord because things, he had sort of run out of things to say sort of in that format and was looking to do something different. So he took a hiatus for a while. And in the meantime, he's like, "Well, you know, you and I both love Babylon 5, and it's been a long time since we've seen it." And our good friend Erica Ensign, that we had met again through Doctor Who fandom, the three of us decided to start that rewatch podcast. And we are about done with that. We are closing in on our last few episodes of that. So we've been doing that for several years now.
Wow. Isn't that weird, though, when like, yeah, your whole format is, like, when you know that there's an endpoint, unless you do that thing of, like, you know, you have to go back and start painting the Brooklyn Bridge from the beginning, just like, well, how do I feel about this on the eighth rewatch?
Yeah, we're not going to do that. We're going to take a break and look at some of the, ancillary and spinoff things briefly, but yeah, this one will have a beginning and a middle and an end, just like the show that inspired it. but yeah, since then it's been, you know, talking about, you know, anything that interests me through the Incomparable and through the Audio Guide at Babylon 5, and all of a sudden it's like I'm talking to people all across the world about these things that I enjoy, and it's fun.
It is fun, and it just kind of seeps into your life. And once you get started, it's hard to stop. And mm-hmm. You can't. Someone will say, "Hey, you should do this with me," and you can't say mm-hmm. no because, "Oh, sure, it's 1 hour a week. Fine." Yeah. And then you're doing 18 of them, and yeah, your life is taken over. All right. So the main point and purpose of this podcast comes down to this question: what is your favorite podcast and why? And yes, you may have more than one answer.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I always suck at picking favorites. So I'll do a top four style.
Yes, perfect.
I went through my podcatcher. So these are alphabetical. There's a number of them. And I really did pare this list down tremendously. So first is By the Book, which is a podcast where the host Kristen and Jolenta, for every episode, they read and live more or less religiously by a self-help book for every episode.
Oh, wow.
So they've been books like Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, or French Women Don't Get Fat, or The Secret. And so they talk a lot about, like, they have one person who's more woo-woo and one person who's way more of a skeptic. But they still, like, they do the steps and talk about the different steps. And their husbands have sort of grown into it as well, because they do a lot of, like, audio diaries, short things. And I think that regardless of your feelings on self-help books, parts of the whole thing will appeal to you. Because if you like self-help books, you can be annoyed that they didn't do it right. And if you don't like them, you can go, see, they're stupid. Like, and they've made me think differently about certain things. Like, I'm not going to be a secret person, but, like, the way that they go through things have made me think about stuff. So it's cool. And they're hilarious. Like, it's just, highly recommend.
Awesome.
And then one that I think is on a lot of people's list is My Favorite Murder, which was something that I put off for a long time because I was like, I don't want to listen to A, something called that, and B, something about that. But then I was like, oh, I'll give it a try. Like, you know, 2 million flies can't be wrong.
Right.
And I really, really liked it. Like, it's because they're the right amount of irreverent for my tastes. And I've gotten a little bit into true crime, but I don't think I'm as big of a true crime as many other fans are. I just, like, I enjoy the way that they talk about things and the way that they talk about the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then No Such Thing as a Fish, which is from the QI elves. So the British game show, quite interesting. QI have the elves are the people who think up all the questions. And they have a podcast where four of them talk about their favorite facts from the week. And as a huge just trivia nerd, just like knowing, like, oh, there's a possibly a larva that shoots fire out of its butt, or
what?
Like, it's just like four amazing facts, and they talk about them, and it's really funny, and they joke about things. It's just amazing.
Oh wow.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Oh No, Ross and Carrie, which is a little bit like the self-help thing, I guess, is that they look into, like, cults and pseudoscience and stuff, but they take part. So they're like, okay, we're gonna try being Scientologists for a couple of months, or we're gonna go to this money-making seminar, or we're gonna go try ayahuasca, and they actually do all these things.
Oh wow.
Which is like, and it's funny, because for someone who is so much of a skeptic, I will still, like, I'll turn to my husband and be like, so Would you come with me if I did ayahuasca? And he's like, I would not go to, like, I would, no. And it's just, it's great because it is, and they're very honest. Like, I think they even have the rule of, like, if someone asks them outright, they have to say, like, we're doing a podcast about this. But they judge things, and some things have, like, a 10-episode arc, and some it's just, like, one or two episodes. And then they judge things on, like, how dangerous is it? How pocket draining is it? Did they have hot drinks? Because one of the hosts, Carrie, really cares about hot beverages. So it's like, so something can be, say, super creepy but not actually that dangerous or expensive, and, like, all these different variants. And I really like it. Again, like, I find nuts things fascinating, so I love that. And another nerdy podcast is Ologies, which is just about different ologies, so cosmetology or gemology or rhinology. So it's, like, about noses. Like, it's really, really fun. Still Processing, which is a podcast about, I don't know how I, as a white person in Northern Europe, can say this, but about, like, people of color issues in both pop culture and society. It's mostly American focused, but still very interesting, very well made. Terrible, Thanks for Asking, which also starts every episode with "This is terrible, thanks for asking," and ends with "This has been terrible, thanks for asking." It's a woman who lost her husband to a brain cancer right after she'd had a miscarriage and was pregnant again, and then lost her father not long after that. So it starts there, but then she just meets and has these amazing conversations with people who have gone through some of the most terrible things ever. But it's not misery porn. Like, it's very, and sometimes they're still almost in it, because you'd think, like, okay, if you talk to someone 5 or 10 years later, that's one thing. But she still manages to get these people to talk with such, like, self-reflection and self-awareness. And, like, I've cried on the subway listening to some of these episodes, and I've, like, tweeted at her and was like, I hate you and I love you. You made me cry on the subway. But it's just like these, because usually I'm not big on that sort of misery, groveling, digging thing. And this is just so well made and so amazing. And then my last one is top four, just because I love geeking out about weird random subjects. So it's Tiff Arment, Marco Arment talk about their top four of a random category. So like donuts, mm-hmm. 90s albums, whatever it may be. And as we alluded to at the beginning of this podcast, the rules bend.
Yes.
And sometimes snap.
They are very flexible. Like the ice cream episode where there were definitely more than four ice creams that they talked about. And the thing I like about top four too is that they're shorter episodes. So it's not like 2 hours of them. Mm-hmm. So it's nice mm-hmm. and simple, easy to add into your queue without too much time commitment.
And for better or for worse, they're not regular episodes.
Yes.
Like, because mm-hmm. sometimes you do want, like, I would love to sometimes binge, and I have sometimes if I've not caught up, but you don't have to be like, okay. And A, you don't have to find the time in your day, but also you can tell that it's something that they really wanted to talk about. Because I think that would be a format that would be really easy to start feeling really stressed and forced after a while. We're like, what the heck can we talk about this week or this fortnight? Right. Whereas when it's like, when we feel like it, then it's something that you know that they have probably had long and intense discussions about for at least half their marriage.
Very true. Very true. I love. Yes. Yeah. You can tell that something happened that made them think, oh, hey, we should do this or whatnot. And so.
And yeah. I mean, everybody has like had the discussion with a friend or a partner. Like, what is the best donut? What is the best bagel? What is the best... I don't know, song about holidays.
Yes. And my opinion is correct. And regardless of what you think, mine is right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Drafts are a thing.
I think, yes. Drafts are totally a thing. All right, Shannon, what about you? What are your favorite podcasts?
I was just taking a look at my list, and it's not so much that I have favorites as much as I listen to podcasts that talk about things I want to hear. I would say, you know, but as far as the ones I listen to most consistently, I would say Pop Culture Happy Hour is one that I listen to fairly regularly. That's an NPR-produced podcast by several of their regular columnists who talk about, you know, various pop culture topics, sometimes two or three things, and they always end with a thing that is making them happy this week, which is always a nice way to end those particular podcasts. And they have people who have... learned by now, they express themselves very well, very succinctly, and are able to get a lot of points across in not too much amount of time, which is another plus for them. Something else I listen to on a semi-regular basis, again, if I have seen the media they're talking about, is the Classic Horror Cast. I'm not necessarily a fan of horror movies in general, but the ones, especially older classic ones, that Black and White and things like that I've seen, I really enjoy listening to Kyle Anderson and Eric Stadnick run that one. About once a month, they pick a movie and just pull it apart. And again, they do so with a lot of insight, a lot of knowledge about trivia and things about the production, things like that. They do a really good job of pulling it apart and having fun while doing it.
And I think that's one of the things that people don't always realize is because sometimes with a certain kind of pop culture discussion, mm-hmm. be it text or podcast, people are like, why do you talk like why you seem to hate everything you talk about? It's like, no, because I love it. It deserves to be taken seriously. Like
exactly.
When we talk about romance novels, we don't just go, oh, I liked it. It was nice because you're not supposed to be mean about this. Like I really love, say, Doctor Who. And I'm going to mm-hmm. take it seriously. And when it falters, I'm going to point that out. Like,
right.
And you can spend, you know, an hour finding only the things that are wrong with a certain thing. Because like, well, we're all going into this with a common understanding that we love this thing. And now let's talk about why this shoelace is wrong for 20 minutes.
No, fandom is both a celebration and a critical look at what it's celebrating. Yes. Yeah, that at its best when it does both.
And especially with... at least to me, like pop culture, like I have a master's degree in romantic comedies, like for real. I believe that things deserve to be taken seriously when they are things that have not been taken seriously or that are considered crap or culture just for kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's also one of the things that I often love with a certain type of like nerdy or pop culture thing where it's like, no, like I like this and I'm not going to be ashamed of it. And mm-hmm. And sometimes you can go like, okay, yes, we get it. You really like your iPhone, but and you know, I respect that. And I, you know, people can talk about baseball or cars or whatever they want to talk about, but mm-hmm. there's something so delicious about people who are in that, like the deepest, dankiest swamp of geekery and just be like, we really, really care about this. And especially when mm-hmm. it's something that either has traditionally been low status or has only in the past 5 or 10 years become something that, because of the internet, people realize other people also care about.
Yeah, that was one of the beauties of another podcast that's currently, unfortunately, on hiatus, but Anthony Johnston's Unjustly Maligned. It was a really good one for that. His guest would pick something that they absolutely adored. And, you know, they would spend the hour talking about, you know, why it's not as bad as people remember or what people should think about it. And in my case, I defended the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie, which is my Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I've never seen the TV show and I don't ever intend to because the movie was my Buffy.
Yes.
Things like that. And it's so much fun.
Do you remember there was a podcast briefly called Surprisingly Awesome that I think was on the uh-huh. Gimlet Network where it was just like, it wasn't even a pop culture or nerd thing. They just like picked a thing and it could be mm-hmm. like clothespins or paperclips or... See, I can't think of things that are plain enough, but it was just like, this thing is awesome, but you wouldn't expect it. And then they did like a deep journalistic documentary dive mm-hmm. of like 30 minutes of like, this is why this thing is cool. And they had to convince each other. There were two hosts and most of the time they did. And other times I was like, no, still tea bags, still boring. But it was that thing of like, anything is fascinating if you just look at it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
Yeah, those are most of the ones that, like, I would say I would listen to super regularly. And again, if there's a podcast on a topic that I'm interested in that I've never listened to before, I'm quite likely to go and listen and see what they have to say, just out of curiosity. Those are most of the ones that I'm listening to and not necessarily over my husband's shoulder, so to speak.
Can I ask, because when I was picking my favorites, and again, like, I pared the list down, I realized that I'd stolen... my husband's categorization of like the things that I will always listen to first when there's a new episode, because mm-hmm. I have a huge backlog, you know, and new things come out every day, and like I try to go through like what are the episodes or what are the podcasts that like this is the first thing I will pick if I'm not listening to anything right now and I pick up my phone, what are the things that I will go to if there's a new episode over stuff that I'm already waiting for? Is that how you maybe like think of the things that you like best? Like, this will always win over something else. Or is it just me that has a huge of like guilty conscience backlog of like, I really should listen to this?
I don't have as much of a backlog. If I've got several things to listen to, I will tend to listen to the thing that updates most regularly first, so I don't get so far behind. So I'm more likely to listen to, like, you know, Upgrade is like every week. That's a tech podcast from the Relay Network. Or, you know, things like that, or the Incomparables' latest episode for their flagship program. I tend to try to listen to those first.
I've also realized that I have podcasts that I wouldn't maybe put in my top favorites, but where the hosts have become either sort of literal or figurative friends, like with mm-hmm. The Pen Addict, yes. for instance, another Relay podcast. My husband got into that first, which was actually my fault, because I read about it and I was like, you should listen to this because you like pens. And then suddenly we travel to Atlanta once a year for the live show. And people go, wait, what? From Sweden to here? And like, I don't care as much about pens, but I do like it. But because I'm sort of into that crowd of people as well, and I've met mm-hmm. Mike and Brad, the hosts, it's nice to sort of just have them with me. In the same way, like, if you maybe follow someone on Instagram and you care a tiny bit more about them, maybe mm-hmm. the podcast itself is still like a 7 out of 10. But you're like, but I know you and I know your dog right. is cute.
Yeah.
And like, I care a little bit more about, and it's so unfair because with certain podcasts, you'd be like, I don't care about your kids. Why are you always talking about your kids? But if you know the person or, you know, think mm-hmm. you know them because you follow them on Instagram, you're like, I can put a face on these kids. And I, you know, like it's that weird thing of sometimes you will change the, I think it's the same way you can feel about people. Like yeah. once you get to know someone, you can't tell if they're cute anymore because they're just like your friend, or you, like you change your opinion of someone once you get to know them. And some podcasts mm-hmm. will suddenly get an unfair advantage because,
yeah.
well, like you know what their dog looks like.
Yeah. Or you yeah. met them in person, or you've had a drink with them or something. They become a more intimate of a personality, and so you're more willing to put up with maybe something in a podcast that you normally would be like, eh, I give it a 5.
Yeah, that,
or with certain podcasts, you either meet them or see them live or see them in a video, and something clicks, and you can suddenly tell their voices apart, and you know yes. who's who.
Yeah,
I've had that problem too. With certain podcasts, where I'm like, this sounds like just one person doing a very weird reading of a script because I can't tell these people apart.
Yeah, that was me in Radio Free Skaro. I mean, I was sort of listening along with my husband, but then after we started going to Doctor Who cons and met these guys in person and met other people in person, you know, it was more interesting to hear what they had to say because I had faces and I had also talked with them and had a better feel for what they were like in real life and not just when they were babbling about Doctor Who.
Yeah,
I feel like certain podcasts should have, and I know so certain podcasts do, like they really should have a wiki so that if you haven't, you know, listened to all the episodes or you just have like maybe a little crappy mm-hmm. memory, like you can just go back and be like, why is this funny? I don't remember why I should care about, like, I don't know who Bob is. And it's like, oh, it's their dad and he really likes football.
But that takes work.
Yes.
not all of us have producers.
See, my problem is that I am the producer, so I'm always right. the one doing the show notes and editing right. and none of my podcasts have wikis, so I shouldn't say anything.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the term? Don't. Oh my goodness. Brain crash. So never mind. We're going to just
do what
on.
I say, not what I do.
No, no. It was like something that you check can't cash, or the don't give a promise that you can't. Oh, gosh. You would think that English was not my first language.
What, your mouth wrote a check that your wallet can't cash?
Yes.
Or something. That. There you go. There you go.
That took entirely.
English is my yeah. third language.
Yeah. And that's been an education in and of itself. I mean, I didn't mention much how, I briefly mentioned how my husband sort of helped me learn how to like record myself for a podcast. But by this point, I've also learned some basic editing and have edited at times various podcasts when I'm needed. And yeah, it's a chore. There's a lot more to this than just, you know, running our mouths in front of a computer and talking with our friends.
Yeah.
And I've found that with the group podcasts, it's been very good for my fellow co-hosts or co-panelists to, a few times when I haven't been around and they've done the recording and they're like, wow, she really does work on the structure. Mm-hmm. It's very good for my ego. One thing that I do also really, really appreciate, like, you don't have to explain all the in-jokes and all that, but I do appreciate podcasts that, when they are very sort of intense and geek, to, like, not always assume that everyone is up on all the lingo. Like, just, you know, be nice so you don't feel mm-hmm. exclusionary to either new geeks or new listeners. Like, to find mm-hmm. that balance. And I can't think of any specific examples off the top of my head, but
well, that's not what we did with Babylon 5, with our podcast. We went in thinking, we're going to have people who have seen it, you know, 7 or 8 times over the years since it was first aired. And B, we may have people who have never seen it before and are just curious. So we deliberately set up our episodes so that the first half is spoiler free. We only talk about
that
episode and whatever came beforehand. And then the interstellar travel in Babylon 5 is going through a jump gate. So we would tell everyone, okay, we're going through the jump gate now. If you don't want to be spoiled, bye. And the last half of the podcast, we talk about everything that's coming ahead, because that particular show was so intensely reliant on continuity going before and after the entire arc of the show. So we would talk about the things that were coming up. And so now we've got a bunch of listeners. I think now that we're approaching the end of the show, they're going to have to go back now. And like they get to listen to them all over again so they can listen to the second half.
I love that.
One also, there are podcasts where they aren't very clear on how spoilery they are. And I appreciate that, for instance, with Still Untitled, the Adam Savage podcast, or Adam Savage Project, maybe it's called, where they will be very clear if an episode is spoilery or not. So if the, you know, they can have one episode that's just called like Black Panther, but if it doesn't say spoiler cast, then I can still listen to it. And they are so vigilant about that. And I appreciate that because there have been podcasts that I've put off, like certain episodes that I've put off of certain podcasts until I've read that book. Or and then I realized like much later, I could have, you know, I could have enjoyed that in real time, but they weren't clear about like, okay, you know, either you can listen to the first half or don't listen to this at all, or you can totally listen to this. And for that matter, like, can you enjoy this without having read the book? Because sometimes maybe you don't care about spoilers, but it's like, will I understand anything at all? Because some will have a brief, like a brief recap.
Synopsis
of what is this
or
book
recap.
And it's hard, too, because some people will be annoyed by that, and some people, but you can skip it. You can skip it. Yeah. You can, you know, go at double speed or whatever. But I really, really appreciate when people think about listeners in general, new listeners, somewhat dense, apparently, Swedish listeners, which is like I missed, I don't know if you know this about the show Arrested Development, but they always have, like, on the next episode, flash forwards at the last of, at the end of every episode. I hate coming up next, so I would always skip those. And only like a season and a half in did we discover, when one of us couldn't find the remote, that like, oh no, those are jokey things. That's not at all what happens in the next episode. Like, they're just like hilarious, you know, misdirections of that doesn't show up at all. So because I hate those coming up things, I had missed like all of these hilarious jokes for a season and a half, and you're not gonna know that unless you know that. So I have several degrees. I am not book smart either, so it's a good thing I'm cute
and talented and smart and blah blah blah, all of that, right?
Yes, my mommy says I'm lovely.
Yeah. All right. So we're down to the final bonus question. Feel free to take as much time as you need. We are in a world where the robot overlords have failed, and animals have now become our extra layer of workers. So robots don't work anymore. We need to hire animals. What is a certain animal that you can think of that would have a specific job that would be perfect for them? Example, in the movie Zootopia, the sloths are in charge of the DMV because they move very slowly. What animal and job combination hits you at first thought?
I thought that this question was first going to be like, and the animals are now our overlords. And I'm like, I'm a nearsighted asthmatic and I am out of luck.
I'm going to say we need octopuses for search and rescue of like, you know, collapsed buildings and things like that, because I have seen some videos and those suckers can get through anything.
Yeah.
They can get out of any tank and into anything if you give them just the slightest opening.
I was going to say octopodes for anything, actually, because they are genius animals.
Yes.
Or invertebrates, and they can survive in water and out of water, and they are super smart, and they have more arms than the rest of us. But now I need to think of another answer.
I'm sorry.
You can have the same answer. That's okay.
No, I need to think of something else. But I will say, like, I have a giant octopus tattoo on my leg. I make tentacle-handled mugs, so this is maybe my given answer. But I need to think of another one. I think dogs should be counselors.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good idea.
That's
like,
really,
I mean, they already do that. Like, the best thing I saw recently was that certain airports have started having like chill out dogs for when flights are canceled or delayed. Like they'll just come by the gate and you can pet a fluffy dog just to like relax a little. But I'm imagining also like if we're in the world where the robot overlords have failed, I'm assuming that most things are just chaotic. So just like dogs going around like, how does that make you feel? Okay. You can pet my silky ears. Like that would make, because again, like I'm the huge geek here is just like, well, everything is chaos. All the clothes are ripped because apparently that always happens immediately in any kind of post-apocalyptic society. And all armpits are still shaved for some weird reason. And nobody goes to the grocery store. But like, can you just imagine in like the post-apocalypse, just like having this army of golden retrievers and Boston Terriers just being like, hello. Everything is going to be all right. And if it is not all right, I love you because you are smart and clever and you have the biscuits. Like, that is...
Headcanon accepted. I want to see a movie about that. That sounds absolutely incredible.
I'm gonna write a straight to Kindle special for
yes,
that.
Yes, please do. And let us know when it's out and we shall read it.
Indeed.
Puppypocalypse.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I'm so here for it. So stay tuned, listeners, for Puppypocalypse 1, 2, and 3 that will then turn into a movie or a television series or a podcast. Who knows? Thank you so much, Julia and Shannon, for joining me on this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsintheears.com, on Twitter at Friends in Ears. Julia is at Julia Scott. Shannon is at StarFury10. And of course, all of the links will be in the show notes. Thank you again so much. And I hope everyone has an absolutely fantastic day.